Thank you for listening to Kinetic Podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to those who work in children's ministry and those who have a heart to reach this current generation. Our speakers today are Raymond Woodward and Justin Hamby. We hope this episode inspires and challenges you to be more effective in reaching kids for Christ. Thank you again for listening and enjoy the episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Kinetic Podcast. My name is Josh Combs, along with Rick Crouch. We want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening to our new format, which we are now available on iTunes and online at kineticpodcast.com. We want to thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We have two very special speakers with us today. Our first speaker goes by the name of Justin Hamby. Justin is from Rogers, Arkansas, and he is a kids pastor there. And is doing a great job there in Rogers. Justin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day here in Northwest Arkansas.
Awesome, awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for being on our podcast today. If you could just kind of, just in a couple minutes, just kind of share with our listeners your testimony and how you got into kids ministry and your passion for kids.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on. First of all, Brother Combs, it's a great honor to be here, and I think this is a fantastic program, and I've had the pleasure of listening in on it for quite a while, a few times. And I got to say, what really got me started in kids ministry, it's a family affair. A lot of people know my folks did a lot of kids ministry back in the 80s and 90s and 2000s even. Russ Hamby and my mom Joy Hamby, and they're the senior pastor here at the Pentecostals of Northwest Arkansas. We started this program, reaching our kids, 10 years ago in 2004, is when I took the helm on it. But my mom had started it before then as just a way to get the kids, you know, excited about church on Wednesday night. And I came in a couple of years after that and took it over and started doing some themes and. Added some new ideas and some different ways of really just reaching our kids and getting them set up for mentorship and learning how to worship and work in the church. And I can elaborate more on that later, but it's been a 10-year program. We've seen a lot of growth from just a very small group of kids to over 60 to 70 average on a Wednesday night. And now we're able to move over to a Sunday morning format and incorporate more of a Sunday school feel to it. So a lot of growth over here, a lot of exciting changes happening.
That's awesome, man. That's great to hear. Well, I can just tell, man, by the excitement in your voice, you definitely have a passion for it. And one area of expertise it sounds like that you have is kids' church. And it seems like the past 10 or 15 years, you know, kids' church where kids, they corporately worship together, they corporately, you know, hear the word of God, they corporately respond in their own setting and in their own environment that's tailored for them. It seems like kids' church has really taken off in the last 10 or 15 years. And I believe kids' church, you know, children's church can be very, very effective. So just kind of share with us, Justin, some of your principles or some techniques that you use to make children's church, number one, effective. How do we make it effective? And also, how do we keep it fresh and exciting on a weekly basis?
Well, the effective part of it is really quite simple. For me, I teach that in all things, we teach worship as the core of our foundation on all of our lessons. We teach worship. We teach worship from every motion that we make. We do in the games that we play, they're worship. We call it quote unquote worship practice, if you will, where we'll play a game where we clap our hands. We'll play a game where we stomp our feet or play a game where we jump around or any of the songs that we do, if they're fun songs that are, whether they are the same songs that we do in the main service, which we do a lot of, or if they're songs that are more tailored for a kid's focus, we always incorporate a theme of worship. So even in our action songs, even in, like I said, in all of our games, anything like that having to do with moving around, we believe that it is all geared toward teaching our kids how to worship. And I start And that just that really focuses around my central theme in the whole program. We start our worship training focus with our kids, unbeknownst to them, at the early age of 5 years old. That's when our youngest kids are allowed to participate in rock. We actually have a program that we started to accommodate the younger kids, the babies, if you will, the toddlers, and we call that Pebbles. And so they go to Pebbles and they do all the fun stuff there. We've got a separate team for that. But our 5 to 11-year-olds, they start at the age of 5, coming into rock and experiencing all the fun. And then from 5 to 6, they are 6 to 7, rather, they are there to help the little ones in front of them. We have a seating chart and a whole works of how it works. But they teach the 5-year-olds how to have fun. And then the 8 and 9-year-olds, they're there to learn how to get our kids into the altar and praying with our kids. And then after that, the older ages, the 9, 10, 11-year-olds, their focus is to start learning not just being a part of the worship team, but also leading songs and doing multimedia, because we use projectors, we use stage lighting, we have them set up the stage, our backdrops. We make them a very integral part of the process, and we teach them that serving and ministry is just as big a part of worship as, you know, singing the songs and participating in the service. And then by that time, by the time they're ready to go into the youth, we've already got a team set up to do all of our youth services. And over the course of 10 years, this particular model has proven very effective in the growth of our church. We now have kids that started out doing this program with me back in the early days who are now worship leaders and multimedia directors and sound directors and people that are singing for holiday youth conventions and youth congresses. And it all started with helping me out in rock back in the day.
That's awesome. That's great. And I love what you said about there. I think it's really, you know, kids church, what it's about, kids ministry, you know, beyond all of the lights and the glam and the glitter. And, you know, those things are needed. But really, it's creating a culture of worship to where when they do move up to the teen class, when they do move up to the youth ministry, it just becomes a seamless process. And, you know, I agree with that. That's our basis. That's what's going to help us to be effective in all other areas. Justin, kind of share with us, you know, I've gotten to know you for just a little bit, for about a year or so, and anybody who knows you, you're a pretty creative guy, you're pretty out of the box, and in kids ministry, you know, it's definitely vital to be out of the box, I think, you know, it's critical to be creative and to do things that kind of pop out, especially, you know, to grab kids' attention. So just kind of share with us, what are some practical ideas that you have? You know, the practical things that you do that maybe are creative or maybe different or, you know, something that maybe others don't do. But what are some creative ideas that you implement in your kids' church?
Well, for the last several years, I have always incorporated some type of theme, and I really stick with it. One year, probably the most popular theme that we've done up until recently was we had a mad scientist type of theme, crazy scientist, if you will, and I would do science experiments in front of the kids. So, you know, I'd pull from Steve Spangler Science, or I'd pull from various other teaching resources and things like that to come up with square bubbles just a lot of different flaming Pop-Tarts. And I would incorporate these lessons with a Bible story. And I always end my Bible story with an altar call on, and basically a how-to on receiving the Holy Ghost. And so that's kind of how our theme works. It doesn't matter really what the carrier of the theme is, whether it's soldiers, whether it's scientists, whether it's superheroes, video games. We always take the core Bible lesson and like the standards, the David and Goliath and the Abraham and Lot and the Jacob and Esau, or some of these, you know. Oh, one of my favorites is Rahab and the you know, Jericho, and all that. It's just incredible, and we tie it in to the plan of salvation, and we talk about, you know, we always tie that into how to receive the Holy Ghost and do an altar call and things like that. But some of the more out of the box things that have gotten people's attention here lately is we started using a lot of youthier music. I started listening to what my youth had to say. One thing I failed to mention a while ago is after a certain age, I only use youth on my staff. So once you're 16 till however long you want to work in rock, really, I'm the oldest person on my staff right now. So I'm 32. So I only use youth and a hyphen group in my staff to teach these kids. Because we're just building a church. You know, it's the future of our church. So it's from the ground up. And really, the more volunteers we have, the better. But I love that right now most of our volunteers come from that age group. And so I started listening to our youth, and I said, hey, if this was your service, you know, when you was a kid, what stood out to you? And they said, well, we really like dubstep. Dubstep? What is dubstep? So I started listening. I was like, oh, my Lord. I don't know if I could play some of this in the church. So I started looking at some options and researching it and looking into it really, really deeply. And I found some things that work, and I'd play it to them, and I'd say, what about this? Is this edgy enough, but not, you know, crossing the line? And they said, if you did this and you could put a song on top of it, that'd be great. So we took a video game theme from a game that we heard. It was like a racing game or something. And we took that and we put an old song on top of it or something with motion and music. So it'd be this crazy dance beat to I gotta praise. And instead of doing, you know, the old I hate the devil, so do I kind of bit, now we have this awesome dance beat that we do, and they do their little screaming contest back and forth and all that. So that's, you know, it's just one of the most out-of-the-box things. But I would say, the number one thing that I learned, and I learned this actually from one of my personal heroes, Mr. Lloyd Squires, Brother Lloyd Squires, you know, King's Clown. He, back in the day, he taught me a lesson when I was just a teenager. He said, kids will advertise exactly what they want to see.
Yeah.
So when you're teaching kids, look at their shirts, and that'll tell you what you need to be talking about. And sure enough, yeah, man, superheroes and SpongeBob's and Dora's and all these t-shirts. And so we bring that out. And so that's really kind of how I determine what theme to do next or what lesson to focus on. Or I would go and I would watch some SpongeBob, or I would watch some Dora, or I would watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know, the new generation, not the stuff I grew up on, which was the best one in my opinion. But that's what we do, man. We listen to our youth, and we observe our kids. And we pull ideas from that, and we let them dictate the direction that we go. And then with guidance and wisdom, we pull in the word, and we direct what lesson to do and what life lessons we can pull from these outside sources and focus them on the direction that we need them to focus on, which is on godly principles and on salvation.
Wow, that's great, man. That's some awesome advice and some practical, I really think, some practical ideas that we can use, you know, in our kids' church and our kids' ministry, you know, this weekend. So, Justin, thank you so much for being on the podcast today, and we greatly appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you all for having me.
Our next speaker today is we're very honored to have him, and I'm going to let my co-host, my buddy Rick Crouch, he's going to introduce our next speaker. Rick, go right ahead.
Thank you, Josh. Today, we have on our podcast one very well-known pastor, conference speaker, Brother Raymond Woodward. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good, bro, and it's a great privilege to be here.
Well, we're honored to have you on the call. I know that several people across the United States will drive hours to come hear you speak and to hear you minister, and you've blessed the United Pentecostal Church as a conference speaker and as an evangelist, a minister, and so we're excited to have you on the show today. But today, I think our listeners are looking for Pastor Raymond Woodward. You're pastoring in Fredericton, is that correct? Fredericton?
Yes.
New Brunswick?
That's correct.
Yes. And so how long have you been pastoring there?
Well, I assisted. I'm a Fredericton boy. I grew up here. I assisted at this church back in the 80s, long time ago. And then I was away for about 8 years and came back as senior pastor in the year 2001. And so I've been here, you know, going on to about 14 years this next summer. So it's kind of a unique thing. I grew up in Fredericton. I didn't grow up in this church, but Fredericton's home to me. So that's kind of my story.
Well, that's great. Well, I know that you're doing a great job. It's a revival church. And what we want to address today is that as a pastor, what are your expectations for children's ministry? Do you have a full-time children's ministry pastor or a volunteer pastor?
We don't have a full-time person. We do this with several staff that are in leadership. We don't have a salaried position, but we give them an honorarium every week that helps them cover some of their costs incurred, but also it honors them for what they're doing. So that's where we are with kids ministry. And the person we have, she is degreed and doesn't actually use her degree in secular work right now. She's decided to give her time and attention to our kids ministry. And so we're very, very grateful for that.
Amen. Great staff is so important, whether it be volunteer or full-time. But
absolutely.
as a pastor, what are your expectations for them? What are you asking for them to do? Do you set goals for them? How have you set up your children's ministry?
Well, basically, I think as far as the kids ministry, we try to let ideas kind of bubble up from the ministry. We used to operate in our church like a lot of churches. I think it was Rick Warren called it the NAG method, N-A-G. You see a need. You see somebody with the ability to meet that need, and then you pour the guilt on them until they volunteer for Sunday school, and then you lock them in the church basement for the next 50 years. And that probably used to be the way things happened here, and we don't do things like that. So we try to find people that have a real burden, even if we have to wait a little while for it. But when we find that person, by that time, we really feel very confident that they've got a passion and a vision and a burden for that ministry. So we do try to let ideas bubble up. So I would say that most of our ideas for kids ministry actually come up to us rather than us trying to kind of superimpose something else. The only exception to that is when we do like a full church push or a full church emphasis, and we might do that a couple of times a year. And at that point, we'll write our own curriculum for youth and for kids and that kind of thing. But really, those ideas come from kids ministry to us versus the other way. Now, that being said, it's our expectation for every ministry. And I think with kids ministry, it's critical and vital at that age group. It's our expectation for every ministry that they are teaching people, whatever the age is, to be apostolic Christians in every sense of that word. One of the things that I came across when I was teaching a Bible school class years ago, and this I'd never seen before, if you look at the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 4 and 1 basically says, it's God speaking to Israel, he says, I want you to listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you. And then if you look at the very next chapter, Deuteronomy 5 and 1, you see a response, and it's Moses. He calls all Israel, and he says, Israel, hear the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, and that you may learn them. So one verse says, God says, I want to teach you these things. And then the very next chapter, Moses says, Israel, you need to learn these things. And here's what I found out. I thought it was really cool. The word teach and the word learn in Hebrew, once you remove the little prefixes and suffixes that make a word in context, but the word for teach and the word for learn are the very same word in the Hebrew language. So when we teach, and this is especially true in kids ministry, our job is not just to get through some material. Our job is not just to get through a curriculum. Our job is to cause learning. And learning is more than just a bunch of facts or a bunch of scriptures or whatever that we string together. We're literally supposed to cause these kids to learn, and we're not teaching unless they're learning. Now, we expect that in youth ministry. We expect that in married couples or singles ministry or whatever. But I don't think there's anywhere where it's more important than kids ministry, that everybody involved, that's our expectation, number one, above everything else, that you are causing these kids to learn how to worship, to learn how to pray, to learn about doctrine. You're causing learning. You're not just getting, you're actually causing them to learn. So that's kind of our philosophy.
That is excellent. I think it's so challenging to find people today that can fit that mold, that not only embrace the apostolic lifestyle that you talked about, but to also create a classroom atmosphere that creates an excitement to want to learn in a child. So that is a great, great, great philosophy. So how can children's ministry partner with families to encourage and foster spiritual growth in our kids? How do you work that in your church? How do you get families and to partner with children's ministry and create that kind of excitement and apostolic growth that you were talking about?
Well, I think the number one thing is visibility. If our kids' ministry is invisible to the rest of the church, and in many churches I feel like it is, we've got one teacher, her name is Tammy. She's coming up to 40 years. Within just, maybe 4 years, she will have been in the same kindergarten Sunday school class for 40 years. She's just a marvel. She's been teaching since she was a teenager. She started teaching with her aunt. And, you know, so she's phenomenal. But she's been buried in Sunday school on Sunday mornings for like decades now. The only way that we can keep kids ministry in front of the church is to honor people like that and honor what's going on and talk about what kids are doing. Just this past Sunday, I wasn't here, but Pastor Jack Lehman, our associate pastor, he had a bunch of different people from different departments come up to the platform during his sermon. And in prime time on a Sunday night in the middle of his sermon, he just had them give like a 1 minute, 2 minute snippet of this is what's exciting in our ministry. And of course, for us, there was Sunday school represented there. There was our Wednesday night program represented there. There was our kids prayer ministry represented there. So there's three like prime time commercial spots to keep that in front of the church, because if we don't make the effort to keep it in front of the church, sometimes these people just disappear, and it's like a babysitting service. So we try to do that. One of the most exciting things we've done is the kids' prayer ministry. We have a weekly prayer meeting from 7 to 8, roughly, on Saturday night. And during that time, we actually take the younger kids, Sunday school age, and they go to a separate prayer meeting. It's done a couple of things. Number one, it has increased our prayer meeting attendance dramatically, because parents know not only that their kids are being looked after, but it's very valuable time to their kids. But number two, the most exciting thing is that these kids really learn how to pray. And so that's not a Sunday school program, but that's a very vital part of kids' ministry. They will take prayer requests for healing, and they'll pray over little bandages. And they'll anoint them with oil, and they'll lay hands on them, and they'll pray. And then some of our care staff will go to the hospital and tell some senior that's in there or some person that's in there, the kids prayed over this, and they'll put the bandage on their arm, you know, just in some spot. And we've had literally miracles happen because of the prayers of these kids. And so when that happens, of course, you want to keep kids' ministry in front of the church. So we'll bring that person, and they'll testify. The one I'm thinking of, he was a senior, and he actually went into kids' prayer on a Saturday night. And he told these kids, this is what happened to me. I was in the hospital, and this is what the doctor said, and I put this little Band-Aid on that you prayed over, and God healed me, and I came out of the hospital way sooner than the doctor said. And of course, that just builds momentum in the kids. But when you repeat that testimony in the main church, and I think that's where we really get, we're able to really promote kids' ministry, is to keep telling the church, your kids need to be here. These kids are learning how to pray. This is a ministry for them. And I think that's one of the best things that we've ever done as far as kids ministry.
Yeah, you mentioned that you have a couple of kids ministry programs throughout the year. Are you doing revivals, children's revivals, to keep the kids visible? Or are you doing children's plays? What is your church doing in that area?
We do kids revivals from time to time, and they've been really good, not only from the perspective of the kids, but of course, if we do a kids revival, we're going to have every age group there because it's going to be a whole church event. And so that's one thing that we do. But we also try to involve the kids in everything else we're doing. And when I referenced earlier, like a whole church event, it's not just kids revivals. Like if we're starting in January with a 4-week series or a 6-week series to kick off the year, we'll actually write age-appropriate curriculum, and it will match up with whatever I'm preaching or Pastor Jack's preaching for the first few weeks of the year. And so everybody goes home with the same idea. This is what we're learning in church right now. Parents are able to talk intelligently with their kids about it because they know, roughly what their kids have been taught. It may be at a different age level, but it's going to be along that similar vein. So kids revivals, but the whole church emphasis from time to time, when we're doing social events, when we're doing even like special promotions for Mother's Day and Father's Day and Christmas and whatever, we try to involve children in the church. Because again, if we can keep kids that are living this and kids that are learning this and all of that in front of our church, that helps them, but it also helps us. There's nothing more precious to me than a multi-generational church that really gets that all these ages are serving God together.
Amen. Well, it sounds like a very well-balanced approach to ministry and to ministering to families. And I believe that you and Justin Hanby are on the same page in creating an apostolic lifestyle for our kids, teaching our kids to pray, teaching our kids that it's important to be spiritual. And I want to thank you so much for sharing all your insight today. And it has been a blessing to the podcast and to everyone who's listening today.
Thank you, Rick. It's been my privilege and a special privilege to be with you guys and to hear Justin. That's a powerful kids ministry he's got going.
Yes, sir. I'm going to turn this back over to my co-host, Josh Combs, who's going to close out the podcast.
Thank you so much, Rick. Brother Woodward, Justin, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. And you all have really just dispensed some very awesome and valuable knowledge and wisdom. And we thank you so much. And again, we want to thank you to all those who have been listening to our podcast and those who have listened today. And continue to check on our Twitter and our Facebook pages for more updates. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you again for listening to Kinetic Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Until next time, continue to check out our website for updates at kineticpodcast.com.